reading is taken from Ruth 4, from verses 1 to the end. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to her relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know. For there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David.
So do keep Ruth open as we now finish the story of Ruth. And I wonder what you made of it as it was read out to us. I wonder what you made of the different themes that have come out from this chapter. Some of the things coming out, we have talk of fame, we have talk of celebrity status, we have talk of making a name for yourself. And we think, really? Is this really what the Bible is all about? Maybe you're here and you're not sure if you're a Christian, or you're here and you're sure you're not a Christian, and you're looking into it and you're thinking, if you were like me growing up, this isn't what the Bible talks about. Fame, celebrity status, making a name for ourselves. But here it is, verse 11, if you look down, from the elders, the wise people of the town, "May you act worthily, may you have standing in Ephrathah, and be renowned, be famous in Bethlehem." Similarly, in verse 14, the woman speaking to Naomi about her grandson, Obed, may his name be renowned, be famous in all of Israel. Well, who says the Bible isn't relevant for today? We surely live in a culture that is obsessed with fame, with celebrity, with making a name for ourselves. We love to know what our favourite celebs are up to, and Twitter gives us a wonderful insight, touching distance of our favourite celebs. I wonder if you saw it in the news this week. Katy Perry has become the first person to reach 100 million followers. 100 million people obsessed with finding out a little bit more about what she's up to, wanting to know what it looks like to be that famous. Why? Well, deep down, we probably all want a little bit of for ourselves. We all want that little bit of fame and celebrity status. It's probably why we've seen a massive rise in the popularity of reality TV shows, of reality talent shows like X Factor, like Britain's Got Talent. Because this could be my chance. My chance to show the world that I can do it, that I deserve that status. Hundreds of thousands of people audition to try and be that one. To try and be that winner. And yet, how long does it last? How long until we're all forgotten about? I wonder who can remember here the winner of the very first X Factor back in 2004. And I'm sure if anyone did know, they wouldn't admit to knowing. But it doesn't take long for people to move on and for us to just become yesterday's news. And we don't like it, because no one wants to be a nobody. And so as we get into chapter 4, as we finish the story of Ruth, we see how to avoid being a nobody and how the Bible tells us what it means to be a somebody. So let's look first, how to be a nobody, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1, we're introduced to this other redeemer. If you remember back to last week and remember how we left it at the end of chapter 3, if you weren't here, we were left with a cliffhanger. Ruth is committed to Boaz. Boaz is committed to Ruth. However, nothing can happen because there is someone in the way. There is someone else first in line. There is another redeemer. And the question is, what would he do? What decision will he make? And so Boaz rushes to the gate. The gate of a city is a significant place. It is the center of city life. It's where people will gather for conversation. It's where the administration of justice is held. It's where poor would wait for anyone to give them any kind of aid. It's where business would be transacted. And what happens? Well, look at verse 1 with me. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. Behold, it just so happened. Another chance opportunity, another random event? No. We see again the sovereign controlling hand of God over and above all that is going on. You might be able to cast your mind back 2 weeks ago to the beginning of chapter 2, verse 3, when Ruth happened to wander into the field that belonged to Boaz. And we have here another wonderful example of God's hand over all that is happening. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And as we get to know this closer Redeemer, we get to see the example of how to be a nobody. First then, what do we learn? I wonder if you noticed his name. Have a look down. No name. His name isn't given. And realize that names are important. Names had real significance back then. And in fact, names are important now. We like to be known. I wonder if you've ever been in that situation, maybe drinks after work, and someone comes in and you're introduced to the rest of the party. And as they go round, they introduce them all by name, and then they get to you and they go, "Oh, sorry, what was it again? What was your name?" It's a horrible feeling. We hate it. But I wonder if ever you've had the shoe on the other foot. If you're anything like me and you're rubbish at remembering names, you're the one doing the intros, and as you come round, you're like, "It's gone." And so then you're working through your tactics on how can you get out of that situation. Maybe hopefully they'll introduce themselves to each other so you're not exposed as having forgotten someone's name. Why? Because names are important. They make us feel valued. And it's no different back in biblical times. Names are important. Names are important here. As we work through the book of Ruth, we see Elimelech, meaning "my God is king." Naomi means pleasant. But I wonder if you remember at the end of chapter 1 when Naomi actually wanted to change her name because she felt it wasn't appropriate anymore. And she wanted the name Mara, which meant bitter, which she felt reflected her situation better at that point. Ruth means friend. Boaz means strong. This guy, this redeemer, no. He's just a Mr. Nobody. Why is this guy a nobody? Well, have a look at what happens, verse 2. Let's have a look at what happens next. "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down. 10 men of the elders who will act as witnesses to what happens next, to the activities next. Then he, Boaz, said to the redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come afterward, after you.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.'" It's a good offer. Some land. Everyone's after land these days, aren't they? And he's keen. Why not? Who wouldn't go for it? And yet here comes the caveat from Boaz. Here comes the small print. Here comes the strings attached along with the deal, verse 5. "Then Boaz said, 'The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance.'" You see, Ruth comes with the land. It's part of the package. It's a two-for-one deal. And hey, we all love two-for-one deals, don't we? Well, not so much this man. It seems to change the goalposts too much for him. Verse 6, "Then the redeemer said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it.'" Actually, no, I can't do that. That's changed everything. I'm out of this deal, I'm afraid. I'm gone. Why? Well, it's just too costly for this redeemer. Yes, Ruth's a relative. Yes, Ruth and her family are in desperate need. But this man's not interested, because he only cares for himself. "I might impair my own inheritance. I might endanger my own estate." You see, throw Ruth into the deal and it changes everything for the redeemer. Throw Ruth in and the man will have to take Ruth as his wife to redeem the dead man's family. Throw Ruth in and he needs to take the dead man's wife to look to bear a son in order to continue the family line, because there was no son when Ruth's husband died. You see, being a redeemer was a costly act of sacrifice. It meant buying the land from Naomi. It meant taking Ruth as his wife. It meant looking to continue the line, family line of Elimelech. But this man thinks about the future and the effects it could have on his future. And it could mean bearing a son to Ruth in order to continue that family line. But then the son will become the true heir of the property. Being a redeemer was a costly act of sacrifice. And this man was having none of it. He was more concerned with himself and his own name. I wonder if you've read the book Good to Great by Jim Collins. In it, he observes certain companies, organizations, who have moved from a good company into a great one. And he outlines the key things that he's observed that have helped these companies move from good to great. One of the first things he says is you've got to get the right team. You must have the right team, because it's vital that you think about the who before the what. It's vital who is in the team before you move on to think about what it is they're going to do and where it is you're going. And a vital characteristic of this right team, he says, is people who are cause first. People who are cause first. That is, those who will be thinking about the cause of the organization before any kind of personal gain. People who will think, have their interests first in the organization or the company, and not in making their own name. Because, he observes, problems come in companies, and we see it wider than just that. Problems come in communities when people focus solely on themselves. And this is what this Mr. Nobody has got wrong. I'm not interested, this man says. Have it for yourself, because I'm interested in my name. I'm interested in my gain. And so they go through the rites of confirming a transaction, which at that time was done by the taking off of a sandal, the ancient equivalent of signing on the dotted line, of shaking of the hand. And when it was done, the man says, verse 8, buy it for yourself. And he's gone. He's gone from the pages of the Bible, never to be seen again. We don't hear from him, we don't hear about him ever again. What a challenge for us today. When society tells us that it's all about number one, it's all about making a name for ourselves. The Bible says, no, this is how it is to be a nobody. I wonder if people were to look at your life, at my life, I wonder what they might say. Oh yeah, I know him. Yeah, he only ever seems to talk about himself and what he's always achieved. Or yeah, I know her a little bit, but she never asks about me or never seems to care about how I'm getting on. The warning from Ruth is clear. Being interested in self makes you a nobody. And yet, secondly, Boaz then, in contrast, shows us how to be a somebody. How to be a somebody, verses 9 and 10. Have a look down as I read those. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon, and also Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. In stark contrast to the unnamed first redeemer who is just out looking out for number one, Boaz shows complete other person centeredness. He's not worried about the possible impact it might have on his own name or his own property. He's not concerned about what's in it for me. No, have a look at his motivation, verse 10. His motivation is to perpetuate, to maintain the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers, from within the family, that his family line would continue. And not just that, from the gate of his native place, that his name would not disappear from the city, from the country. Boaz's worry isn't for himself, what effect it might have on his name, on his finances, on his property. And yet, do you see the irony? Do you see the result? First, in verse 11, in the story of Ruth here, the people respond to him, "May you act worthily, may you have standing in Ephrathah, and will you be renowned, famous in Bethlehem?" In the midst of his selflessness, his name is renowned throughout the land. And not just here in the story of Ruth, but look at us, 3,000 or so years on, in an old church in central London, still talking about this man now. Want to be a nobody, according to God? Well, keep worrying about number one. Keep your focus on yourself. Want to be a somebody? Well, the Bible says, focus on others. The young graduate, looking out for the needs of others around him, rather than entering into that dog-eat-dog, look-after-number-one world. The mum, who's up time and time again in the middle of the night, feeding, changing nappies, reading stories, all for the sake of a child. The experienced city worker, not concerned with playing the system to get as much out of it for self at the expense of anyone else, but being honest in his workings, working hard, giving opportunities, credit to others who deserve it. The friend who is always there for you, whatever, whenever you might need them, despite the possible cost it might be to themselves, concerned, interested in you. Being interested in others makes you a somebody. I wonder what that could look like for you. I wonder who that could look like for you. I wonder who God is putting in your life for you to show that other person concern for. But the reality is, it's hard. It's tough, right? It's tough in the midst of busy, moving London to be looking out for the needs of others. And so that is why we have a God who is working over all and in all, who has a plan through all things. And so finally, we have the one who makes somebodies out of nobodies. Look at Naomi. She's a widow. Has nothing but a daughter-in-law when she returned home. Described herself as empty at the end of chapter 1. And as we mentioned earlier, changed her name to Mara. Bitter. That's who I am. That's what I am. But now, verse 14, as a result of Ruth having a son, she's not left without a redeemer. Verse 15, he's said to be the restorer of life to her. And Ruth is a daughter-in-law who loves her and who is more to her than seven sons, which is quite a statement in those times where sons would be the thing that you want, would be the breadwinner. Here is Ruth, more to her than seven sons. And Ruth, an outsider, a Moabite, a foreigner, no prospects, no hope, lost in a foreign land. But now, verse 13, married to Boaz, which in turn means part of God's family. More than that, God gives them a son. And more than that, has a whole book of the Bible written about her. Boaz, an ordinary guy, just going about his work. And yet God was at work through his life, bringing Ruth into his field, bringing them together so that he may redeem Ruth, so that he could be used by God. Here is the God who loves to make somebodies out of nobodies. And who is this son born to Ruth and Boaz? This son is Obed, who, verse 17, is the father of Jesse, who in turn is the father of David. Famous King David, Israel's greatest king. And he comes from the line of Boaz, comes from the line of old forgotten Naomi, comes from the line of foreigner Ruth. But more than just King David, if you were to flick to the start of the New Testament and go to the start of Matthew's Gospel or the start of Luke's Gospel, you'll see the genealogies, the long family trees. that if you're anything like me, you just brush over because there's too many names. And yet if you were to read it, you would see that from the line of Boaz, from Ruth, from the line of David, comes King Jesus. From the line of foreigner Ruth, God shapes the whole of history. From the line of ordinary Boaz, God brings the Saviour of the world. He's the ultimate somebody who entered this world to redeem us, who didn't think about his own gain. No, instead he gave his whole life in order to save us. Who was forsaken so that you and I may never be forgotten. What a work God was doing through poor Naomi. What a work God was doing through the foreigner Ruth. What a work God was doing through random, ordinary, selfless Boaz. We can spend so much time focusing on ourselves, looking to make a name for ourselves, so that we might be accepted, so that we might get the respect we think we deserve, so that we might build up that reputation. And yet Jesus says, you're already accepted. You've been accepted by the one who matters most. You're accepted by the King of the universe. He says you don't need to look to protect yourself anymore in society, but rather, will you give yourselves to the good of those around us? Will you give yourselves to the good of those around us, following the example of our Saviour, our Lord Jesus? Let me pray. Father God, thank you for this story of Ruth that we've looked at over the last 4 weeks. Thank you for all that we've learned through Ruth, through Boaz, and most importantly, all we've learned about who you are, how you have been in control throughout the whole story, how you have been using Ruth and Boaz, and how you use them in generations to come as you brought your son Jesus to this earth to redeem us. Father, help us to think less about ourselves and to think more about those around us. Will you help us to do that? And will you help us to trust in you? In your name. Amen.